They are very proud. That there's nothing they don't understand. Still pride. The Lord is good. So whatever it is, we take it. One day they said it, what should I have done? Simply take the matter in prayer. The reason is this, you will never be blessed until you are corrected. Let me say it to you again. You will never experience the blessing of God until you have been corrected. Never. No matter how good you think you are. Why do you think God was dragging Abraham up and down? Drag and go Egypt today. Tomorrow go here. Today meet Abimelech. Tomorrow meet Pharaoh. Tomorrow you and Lot go quarrel. Just to burn this Isaac. 25 years of working up and down. Why? Because God had to remove every reason why he could not receive Isaac. Jacob, he was in the house of Laban all those years so that he would be able to receive the blessing. Are you getting my point? The one of the greatest blessings God gives any man is to correct him. God wants to bless a woman, gives the fellow correction. Anyone that does not understand or accept correction. I've seen people that, let me not be the judge of human beings, yeah? But when I see somebody can never be corrected, there's always an explanation for what he or she is doing, and it's not my fault, it's their fault. Why do you talk so much? They always make me talk. Why are you always hot-tempered? They're always provoking me. Everything, it is them. Why don't you ever relax? It is life. Life ensures that, you know, it's never me. I'm never the problem. It's always them. If you just change them, you know, I'll be fine. In fact, I'm fine. They are the ones, they are, you know, see all of them. Nobody is normal there. I was fighting yesterday. No, I didn't want to fight. It was that man that went and pushed me. Tell him to stop pushing. Then I'll stop fighting. You understand my point? That is somebody that's going to be destroyed. Somebody who will not accept blame that I'm the one that's at fault. That is a person that will not be blessed. So when you hear a word of correction, you use it as a prayer point. You know, my experience in life and studying the scriptures is, you know, it's called the power of grace. God doesn't give you instructions so you can obey them. He gives you instructions so you can use them to pray. I'm serious. Obedience is a sign of faith. So if he's hard and he's, you know, you are doubting, so you want to use force to obey the instruction, you will soon fail. You will keep on failing. You use instructions, all right? You use them to pray. He said, God says, go out of your father's house and go somewhere else as a believer. You know, I say, okay, thank you very much, Lord. You now get down and pray, Lord, I am leaving my father's house in the name of Jesus. I receive the strength to leave my father's house. One day you wake up in the morning, you realize you're already halfway out of the father's house into a strange land. But we sit down and say, we are going to go. Hey, we are going to go. You're not down the way. You won't understand why. Christianity is very funny. Person just down the way. Say, what happened? Hey, that's what happened to Moses. Moses sent him, then God met him on the way, wanted to kill him. He didn't understand that instructions, all right? That's what Christianity is. All those things are used to pray. Are you saying that I shouldn't obey? No, I didn't say so. I'm just saying that you need to tap into grace that makes you go on your way. That's what I'm saying. That's just the point I'm trying to make. The ability to pray is one grace, is one, let me use the word, favor. Yes, one of the greatest blessings that God has given people. I've reached a point in my own life now, if I feel like I have to do something later and maybe hard, it doesn't move me anymore. You know why? I don't even think about doing it. Now, what's the problem? I know that all I need to do is right now, just take the matter, let make it part of my prayer life. If I'm driving and meeting about it, I just start praying about it. You know why? The day the doing will come. You will have finished doing it before you realize you did something. That's why I told you before, the day I was in my house, we were watching The Passion of the Christ. My wife was there, Joy was there, and the two of them were like, little beating. But in that one, that is serious beating. So I just said something. I said to them, I said it wasn't paining him. My wife and Joy looked at like, how can you say that? I said it wasn't paining him. I know some of you like listening to some of these strange things I say. And when I said it, I meant it. I wasn't joking. I said I wasn't paying him.
What?
I said it wasn't paining him. I said, just imagine this. I said, let me take you to the garden. And you will see where pain is. See, this one is bleeding because they beat him. Enter the garden. He bled without anybody touching him. I listened to Derek Prince. Derek Prince said that the Bible says that the tears that drop from it, that you know, the way we interpret that, the sweat that dropped from his brows were like, we thought was, he said they were thick like blood. I'm a doctor, I learned physiology. You understand my point? Sweat can never become as thick as blood. It's not possible. If you get too thick, you crystallize into salt. It's just water and a bit of salt. Never gets thick. Derek Prince said the literal thing is that the sweat from his brows were great drops of blood. That is, the agony in his soul broke his skin. Blood started dropping out. I told them that was where the pain was. We're not teaching on that now, but it's clear. You see it. He refused to leave the garden. He kept on returning to pray until suddenly the grace came upon him to move. And that's why I said to the two women that day, I said, all this beating wasn't entering him anymore. I know it was painful in itself. If you had to measure use the nerves, you know, you connect something to the nerves and you see the impulses. Yeah, they were great. But if you try to connect with his spirit, it was almost numb. You don't feel any pain. Why? Because he had suffered the greatest pain in the garden before those guys showed up. And that's the way your life and mine too should be. You want to go out and go and struggle into obedience. God said, forget that one. Obedience is my duty. Faith is your duty. Obedience is a sign of the completeness of your faith. So settle down and work on that faith. So when the word of God comes, listen, the degree of obedience is tied to the amount of confidence in that word. Eve could not disobey God until Satan created doubt in her heart. As God said, you should not eat. No, we can't eat. We can't eat. Why? We will die. He said, wait, you will not surely die. Once he received that word, you will not surely die. Suddenly the fruit took a different look. So they began to perceive that it was good. I never saw this color. Huh? Was it this color? Wow. My God, see how big and nice it is. And she was seeing written all over it, wisdom. Wisdom. Make thee wise. Make thee wise. All of this was possible simply because doubt was created in her heart. It's the other way around. On the other side. The intensity of faith is what decides the degree of obedience. Therefore, what do we do with instructions? Therefore, we take them home and use them to pray until confidence is built inside you. So that by the time you take the action, you don't even feel the pain. One illustration I used quite a bit about this was when Bishop Oedipo said, one day somebody came to him. It was one of his daughters in the Lord. Said, people are saying bad things about you. We know how much you suffered. So he said, suffered. I suffered. Oh, these people thought I was suffering. Are you getting my point? Yet, when you listen to some of his stories, you know actually, in quote, the suffering happened. What does that tell you? The suffering happened outside, but the man did not feel he was suffering inside. So when people said that, we know how you suffered, like, who? Suffered? Me? When? Why? For what? Don't know which period? And that's how it is. When it comes to obeying God, things that look hard, listen, don't just carry the matter. Settle down with it. When you wake up in the morning, this is the direction our life is going. Father, I receive grace in the name of Jesus. I'm an obedient child of God. I believe the will of God concerning me must be done. You understand my point? Take the matter, make it a matter of prayer point. You will have finished obeying it before you realize. You know, before I hear someone say, somebody just died for Christ like that. You know, no, they say, man, somebody won't behead me for the gospel. Now, wow. You never thought about it before. So you'll not be thanking God. Say, thank God we don't live in those countries. And then as time is going, I realize that, man, these things are getting closer and closer. And you actually go to those countries and come out once in a while. Go to those territories. It doesn't worry me anymore. No, I'm being honest with you. It doesn't. I don't believe any true saint of God cries when they want to be heading for the cause of Christ. No. In fact, God won't even allow that. In fact, he will find it funny. Wow, beheading. Okay, now. This is my own conviction. Before that axe hits the neck, the fellow has left the body. He's already seen the glory of heaven. Other than they were stoning Steve. I asked the devil was not feeling one pebble or stone. He wasn't feeling it. Trust me. He wasn't. When he was looking, he said, oh, I see the Lord standing. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Ekwa, ekwa, kill him. As they were saying all of that, the guy wasn't there. He was somewhere else. He was seeing different things. I'm sure when angels say, hey, Steve, how far? Did they kill you for them? Who be that? He said he saw, oh Lord, please forgive him. Then his mouth will move. Oh Lord, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't mind, foolish boy. Don't worry. He will preach the gospel. Say, we know. We just let him kill somebody first before he preaches the gospel. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now that's what we need to understand. That's how prayer is. That is what prayer is about. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let us get back to our message. Where were we reading? But you've gotten the point here of how important prayer is and how easily it works. All right. So I said I wanted to give us a prayer point. Now, having said that, I said all of this by talking about truth. I want to just realize this. There's something I said, was it here or was Nonicha? I was preaching, yes. When God said you are the salt of the earth, and Jesus was speaking, I said, what does salt do to salt anything? And the answer is nothing. All it needs to do is be present. Salt will salt anything if it is present in it. You understand my point? And what I want to emphasize to us, because this is actually a burden in my heart, I realized it. You know, last week when I traveled, I went to one of our senior brothers, went to his church. And so we just asked him, how's the church like and all of that? And he said that, it's a very nice church. That when they first moved in there, they were 80% white, 20% black. All right, that's in Georgia. That they were 80% white and 20% black. He said, until we got a black pastor. And then a huge chunk of the white people moved away. And they became 50% black and 50% white. And we attended the church, in my opinion, that was Sunday service. They looked more to me like 65%, okay, maybe 50% black, 30, another 15% other, you know, Chinese people, Asians, you know, stuff like that. And then to me, the white were not in the minority. And I'm trying to get somewhere here. And I said, this is what I've always said is a problem. If you read my article, The Limit of God, I explained something there, this principle inside that material. And so they were just saying that the white people will never come. They don't like, don't let me use the word never. They don't come to a church pastored by a black man. But black people will go to a church pastored by a white man. They don't mind. But if it's the other way around, it's very difficult. So the summary of it is that, this is my summary. This is my own summary. They don't think so. Most people don't think so. But here, Pastor Banky's summary. The summary of it is that the only reason racism persists in the world is because the church is racist. There's no second reason. Because we are the salt of the earth. The church is the pillar of truth. If God wants to bless this earth, he shines light into it. And the only way he shines light into the earth is through the church. That's what we read here when he said that the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. That thing I said is very important. If you read my article, The Limit of God, I explained that thing in there, that you find out that Mahatma Gandhi, when he was in South Africa as a lawyer, one day he read the Bible, he investigated Christianity, and decided that indeed Christians, to be a Christian is the right thing to be. So on Sunday, he dressed up and went to a church. And that was the mistake he made. I look back now, I wish he never did. I wish this man never went to a church. I wish he was like Derek Prince, who got stoned into the middle of a war with a Bible, who got converted on a battlefield with nobody to disciple him, but the Holy Spirit and his Bible. Because Mahatma Gandhi entered into a church on a Sunday and they threw him out because he wasn't white. He made the mistake of going into a white church. And they looked at him and said, who's this nigger? You know, he's not really exactly a nigger, but you know, something like that. I'm just joking, all right? They threw the man out of church. And they left the church and said, I would have been a Christian except that I met a Christian. That was his statement, credited to him. He said, I would have been a Christian except that I met one. So, of course, reported also have said that, I don't like the Christian, but I like their Christ. And his whole principle of non-violent resistance was built on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. Why did he refuse to be a Christian? He said, these people don't represent one bit of the Christ they claim to believe in. There's nobody to follow here. So when my friend said that thing, when we were in their church, I mean, it's something I had understood. I realized that if there's darkness in the world today, it is because there's darkness in the church. Let me quickly drop this one before I go forget to say it. The major reason corruption thrives in Nigeria is because churches are corrupt. Pastors are corrupt. They use the word of God to collect money. If they do that, there is no way PDP will change. The worst corruption in Nigeria is in the church. You must understand these things are relative. If an Alhaji marries four wives, he will get to heaven. If not, you understand what I'm saying? When they get to the gate of heaven, you just say, Menini, David, I call David an Anfa. That is, that's my house. Is David inside there? Say yes. Hey, come on, open door, my friend. Not only wife, four wives I married. Where's Solomon? Now, Bonham, or now, Blessam. If you just mistakenly say Solomon is not on fire, the guy's like, you are not sending me to any fire. Think about it. So God has never once in his life frowned on the unbeliever that has four wives. It's good. I hope you understand what I mean by good, though. I'm not saying you go and read. You are not an unbeliever. What are you looking for here? Yes. That things, you know, Christians, when they want to confuse and say something, they just make me laugh. The reason why all these women are going to hell fire is because they have earring. God will bless any woman that wants earring with earring. That's the least of his problems. God doesn't even send you to hellfire. You know, I hate tattoos. You know what they call tattoo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, when we get to heaven, I'm sure there'll be many guys there with tattoos. He said, yeah, dog, you're right here, man. Okay. Carry your tattoo. Doesn't matter. Listen, let people want to get angry. You will go to heaven with your tattoo. Yes. The Lord is good. I'm going somewhere. All right? You understand what some things that God is not looking out for. It's around nonsense. All right? So, when we look, you think God is sending Nigerian politicians to hellfire because he chopped money? Lie. Chopping money for him is the least of his problem when it comes to unbelievers. An unbeliever chops money is his nature. What annoys God with the unbeliever is that he refused to believe. I don't know what I get my point. That is God's problem. It is not the chopping of money. It is the refusal to believe. The people he's angry with on chopping of money is Christians. Okay, let's get back to that weed smoking. He will not sit you down. Say you. Why are you smoking weed? You want me to go crazy on the earth? You get what I'm saying? You know, someone was cracking a joke today in a chat group, WhatsApp group. He said that a man, the difference between finished and complete. If you marry a good wife, you are complete. If you marry a bad wife, you are finished. He said if your wife as a married man catches you with another woman, you're completely finished. I replied, I said, catch or not. That was my own response. I said, catch or not. If you're a Christian, as a believer, I'm talking to Christians, I said, if you're a married man, you are with another woman, you are completely finished. Whether they catch you or they don't catch you. That was my, somebody said, hey, correct, sir. I said, that is the truth. Let's forget this catching thing. You're completely finished. I've been issued, that is, by yourself. You're just finished. It is not the catching. People think it's the catching. Even if God doesn't catch you, which is impossible, you are still finished anyway. Why? Because a bad thing is a bad thing. You say, hey, what happened? I just finished sniffing cyanide. They didn't catch me. Have you ever heard of that before? Somebody said, I just chopped cyanide. They did not catch me. Cyanide is known for killing people while they are alive. You know what I'm saying? That is, if a pathologist goes to where a man that ate a bit of cyanide, he's just alive, but you don't know he's dead. That is, everything in his body is perfectly okay. His heart is good, liver good, everything is good, but the man is dead. Whether they catch you or not, doesn't matter. That's how sin is. It's not that they catch me. Who is talking about catching? You've been poisoned, man. You're poisoned. You're dead meat. I'm bringing an issue. So that's it with Christianity. Are you getting my point? They are the ones that God is angry with that they stole money. What do you concern God with unbelievers stealing money? If he doesn't steal money, who will steal it? An unbeliever should steal money. That is his nature. You now come and say, hey, I caught that man. What happened? Hey, Allah, I saw Elijah Dangote. I saw him. He has two girlfriends in your neck. They will call you and say, what? Are you all right? But if you say, Pastor Bank, what happened? One girlfriend, no, not one complete girlfriend. Half. No, not even half. One quarter. Notice that spot. Because it's not my nature. It is not allowed. But if Elijah shows up, two girlfriends here, one in Lagos, four wives at home, it's just a Muhammadan fashion. There's no problem. In case you don't know, Muhammad had nine wives. Not four. I was reading one of my Muslim books last night. And the man said, that's why he's stopping the Muslim. He didn't understand why Muhammad could have nine wives. He could only have four. He said, different rules for different people. The guy not agree. He was very angry. And when he started asking questions, he now beat him and put him in prison. Ah! So when they went to church, those ones, he could question them and they would answer. Ah, so these people are better people. So he decided to be a Christian. Now, please, you've gotten my point. I've talked plenty, but you've gotten my point. That the time God is angry, yes, that's what I'm talking about, is when Christians are now the ones doing the evil. And I'm saying to you that as far as I understand in Nigeria of today, the major problem God has when it comes to reforming a nation is when the church has not been changed. Let me drop this one for you before I close. My time is actually up. Maybe I'll pick it up next time. All right? Let me go back to that racism thing as an example. I've known that for a very long time. If the church in America will stop being racist, the racism will die in the whole nation. Not because the church will start campaigning. No. It is because they are the light and they are the salt. So the light shines out of that place. It just shines out. It just shines out. You give them one generation, the history of racism will be over. There will be nothing like that. That is, you get to the USA today now, and you find out that when you enter a church, the white man doesn't care whether it's a black man or a white man that's pastor, or whether the guy sitting beside him, all right, on the other side is a white, doesn't care. Of course, cultures may differ. You know, I understand the issue of difference of cultures. I mean, if you go to a place, they are speaking Spanish. You don't have to be racist to move away from where they are speaking Spanish to where they are speaking English. Are you getting my point? But beyond that, when it comes to the matter of races, all right, if we get to a point where we don't care at all, I say to you, within one generation, the whole of that nation won't know the meaning of the word racism. Affirmative action will be wiped. They won't need affirmative action for anything. Not if the world, if the church just agrees that we are one body in Christ Jesus. If the church just finally agrees that he has made one body of all races. If the church will just agree. And the same manner, let's get back to our own problem here. This corruption matter. Just by the way, please start praying, all right? We are going back on radio. I'm almost certain we'll get back on Enugu also. But all our radio broadcasts have been rearranged now. They are breaking down to 10 minutes three times a week, all right? I want to be in people's faces as often as possible. So 3 times a week minimum. So I want to be doing everywhere we are. So we are going to start with maybe routine like that, 10 minutes, 3 times a week. Out of it, I thought about it yesterday. That, you know, that blessing and cursing thing, I won't put on there. When I finish preaching this week, all those of you who will be a blessing to your neighbor, may God increase you. If you steal for your neighbor, you will die. The soul that sin it, he shall die. That is. People say, what? Say, yes, let me tell you the truth. I say, every policeman that investigates a case on his merit and punishes the wicked and releases the innocent, may God increase you and make you great, establish your children. Any policeman this week that locks up an innocent man for what he will get out of him, may God paralyze him. I'm still checking how I do it. I'm sure. If I make up my mind, yesterday came to mind. If I, like this, I'll go on. One dose every broadcast. One dose today, now for politician, tomorrow now for pastor. No, I go release some kind ones. They say this kind of pastor, this one. Any lecturer that says a guy will not graduate until she tattoos him, does the Babylon go down and not rise again? Every man goes, oh, forget you. All girls, graduate now. I don't fish out. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I know. Just watch out. I'm still considering it. But this thing needs to be done one way or the other. In one way or the other. I've been preaching to my friends who are pastors. This is your grace of it shall be well with you. Don't, it's too much. You have to add something to it. Mountain of blessing and mountain. If you do that for 1 year, listen, this country goes so good. You'll be going on the road. Somebody say, hey, please, oh, before Pastor Banky kills me. If all the pastors do it, I'm telling you, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. One of the major reason corruption persists in our country is because it thrives amongst us believers. That's number one reason. A lot of Christians don't realize what corruption is. Let me close because of time, please. A lot of people don't realize it. I've talked to pastors before. They said that's the only way we get money. I said, listen, you see, you don't understand. You cannot use lying. I mean, because once a policeman, when one of our friends was working with police and trying to ensure that they stop arresting, you know, this kind of just go out at night, arrest people. A policeman actually told him that that's how we get money to run the station. I'm serious. I won't point to the police station. Somewhere not too far away from here. No, not this one. If you go like this, you turn like this, it's on that road. You do. The policeman actually told him that. So he said to the policeman, he said, officer, don't worry. If you catch the criminals, he'll give you all the money you want. So what him in effect, steal from the criminal. Don't collect from the innocent. Why I told that story is that's the argument we pastors use sometimes. That we lie with the word of God. And we claim that's the only way we can get money to build the church. Anytime we say that, if a policeman sees the other one, he's also justified. And God will not punish him as long as he has not yet punished us. Because judgment must begin in the house of God. One of the reasons why Christians are not shining as light is because of ignorance. Their hearts are in darkness. There are things I say sometimes Christians are shocked. Like I gave an example the other day. I was preaching on it. I told them that any business you were not doing, like maybe building, doing roads, procurement and all of that, that you suddenly start because your uncle is now a minister. I said, you do it as a Christian, hear the word of the Lord, you are going to prison. So I'm like, what? They've never heard that before. They thought you should have been breakthrough and I would have given tithe and offering. I'm saying to you today again, that's pure corruption. Because you started a business counting purely on your uncle's patronage. You should know that it's corruption. You don't expect it to be fair. You're not walking by faith. I realize that most Christians have never heard that. That's the prayer point I said because of time. I just want to get down to it. Hopefully, I'll pick it up from that later. All right, Israel, remind me, please. Let's get back to our school of Bible exegesis later. But next week, let me finish this thing I'm talking about, praying for the Church of Christ. All right? We need to pray for the Church of Christ. Lord, send men that will give us understanding into the harvest field. The church needs it. Jesus looked at them. He said he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. And sometimes I look at it. Christians today, listen to me. They are sheep, most of them, without shepherd. No direction. They go to churches where the head of the churches bear the name pastor, but it's just purely an administrator. The word pastor is not an administrative position. I hope you understand what I'm saying. What is a pastor? A pastor is a man, the woman you go to ask spiritual questions. That's it. That name that drops to your mind when suddenly confusion arises in your home. You get my point? And you say, what does the word of God say about this? That's the meaning of the word pastor. So he said, I'll give them pastors after my own heart who will fill them with knowledge and with understanding. That's the job of a pastor. He's not an accountant. He doesn't check, okay, how much money do we have in the church? He's not the building supervisor. Look at the scripture. That's the meaning of the word deacon. If you read the Bible well, in fact, Miles Morrow said, he's not even supposed to be the one visiting the sick. Any senior Christian can visit the sick. All of them are anointed. The anointing in my hand and yours, they are the same when it comes to that area. Where our anointing should differ is how I handle the word of God because I have a calling in that direction. That's it. You need to pray. Most people go to church and they are not talked to by pastors. They are not. A lot of it shall be where people. They are not bad people. They are just evangelists. They don't know how to say any other thing more than encourage you. You can do it. You can get up. You can move. Greatness. Gosh, gosh, gosh. Ah, I like that church, man. You know, they make me, you know, bubble. But if they don't bring you words of correction, no matter how much they encourage you, you will never be blessed. No matter how much you encourage, you will never be blessed. You will go there 20 years with encouragement, everyday encouragement. Somebody needs to come and say, oh boy, come here. Twist your ear and tell you the truth. These are the precepts of God. Obey this. That is why I said, I was raising my prayer point today, just because I, you know, as is usual now, Chris, talk. We not reach the prayer side. Eh? But this is a prayer point. Let me drop it and we'll go. Okay? We, as individuals, we need to say to God, send us understanding in the body of Christ. Because without that, this country is not changing. I've realized it. We have to know what is a church. A lot of us think buildings are churches. We have to come to it. Our minds must understand it. That buildings are not churches. Human beings are churches. And listen, go to like, try and do a round of like 10 churches. And you see what I'm saying is not a lie. It's uncommon, especially in what we call Pentecostals today, amongst them. It's uncommon to hear people teach the truth for the sake of truth. That thing will not change by itself. As I started by talking about how prayer works, it's only because you and I said, no, Lord, it's enough. Henceforth, we want to hear truth. And when you pray that prayer too much, let me tell you kind of that start happening so that you get prepared. You start hearing stories, churches scattering. And one pastor fighting wife from the pulpit. Eh? What happened? It's your prayer. You are the one that wanted the members to scatter. And the that they removed. I'm serious. Things will start. Then some pastor will go on retreat, show up again, hot on. All kinds of things will happen. And you think, ah, why now? Well, we're praying for peace. It's because this is the first step of peace. It's the first step of peace. So get ready for it. Let me let you go home. I've spoken at length. Let's just rise to our feet quickly. Let's just say to the Lord, we thank you for understanding. Let's just quickly give him thanks. Let's just quickly give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say simply, say, Lord, let your will be done in my life in the name of Jesus. Let your will be done in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, let your will be done in this church. That's your church. That's the church of Christ, I mean, on this earth, on this nation especially. Say, Lord, feed us with truth. Give us pastors after your own heart who will feed us with knowledge and with understanding. We want direction. We want to know your precepts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Everybody just say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
we declare insight in the body of Christ.
We declare insight in the body of Christ.
Say, Lord, let your light fill your body in Jesus' name. Lord, say, raise men of understanding.
Raise
women of understanding.
And
let them take positions of pastoring in the name of Jesus. Now that prayer is simple, but it's very profound. Let them, God give them platform. That's what we are saying. Where they will teach you your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.